Why Our Emotions Cause Us Suffering. Anyen Rinpoche and Alison Choyang Zhangmo share a Vajrayana Buddhist perspective on how to find relief from the suffering our emotions can bring us.
Good afternoon, I'm Alison Choyang Zhangmo and I'm here with Anyen Rinpoche. And Rinpoche and I are going to talk a little bit about the topic of our emotions and why is it that our emotions cause us so much suffering. I think that one thing that probably all of us can agree upon is that our emotions definitely cause us a lot of suffering. If we think about just our day-to-day life, we're constantly being barraged by all kinds of different emotions. And it seems like there's no way to escape from experiencing all of the suffering that those emotions bring us. So just in our ordinary activities, we become impatient, we become angry, jealousy, competitiveness, feeling like a lack of self-worth. And without a really serious spiritual practice, how do we actually have relief from this kind of suffering? So that's the topic that we wanted to introduce today. And I think I can personally speak to this topic just having grown up in America. And before I became a Buddhist practitioner, I really felt helpless. And I felt like there's nothing that I can do to make myself more stable, to make myself more kind, just to bring myself peace of mind. So I'm sure that many people have had this same experience. And I gradually got interested in the Dharma from the time I was a teenager. And I started to practice meditation sort of just on my own, whatever that means. And then as I got older, when I was 24, I met Rinpoche. And I started to do more formal practice. And especially through the teachings that Rinpoche is going to introduce as Lojong or mind training, I found that there is a lot that we can do to release ourselves from emotional suffering. So in Vajrayana Buddhism, our fundamental motivation is always the most important thing. And we describe that motivation as bodhicitta. But basically, that motivation means that we're focusing on the happiness of others. And whenever we're focusing on the happiness of others, this tends to reduce whatever emotional reactions we're having at the moment. For example, I can think back to my life when I was a younger person or a teenager. And one of the really great sufferings that I experienced was sort of withdrawing into myself and just getting into really thinking about how I feel and how nobody understands what I feel and feeling isolated and feeling like there's no way to surpass this really painful state of mind. And, you know, thinking forward from that point of view, it's like my life just seemed like it was going to keep going that way. And now when I think about the teachings on bodhicitta, even this really simple idea of reflecting on wishing others to be happy or reflecting on the suffering of others enables me to get out of that deep emotional suffering. Simply thinking of others makes me not obsess about myself so much. And so even without any other techniques or, you know, daily meditation practice, just merely reflecting on the motivation I've found is one of the best things that I can do as a practitioner. I'm sure you want to say something?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, I think as a spiritual practitioner, especially practitioners who wanted to learn Buddhism in general and practice in Buddha Dharma, one of the most important things that we need to focus on, which is accepting the nature of life as suffering. and find a way how to really use that suffering, accepting the nature of suffering, and to develop our body, speech, mind, and learn a technique such as Buddhist teachings, Lobjong, mind training, to reverse, to reduce our habitual patterns. The habitual patterns that we have now, today, it's not just started this lifetime. Maybe a lot of you who are watching this are not going to believe in previous life or future lives, but from Buddhist point of view, this pattern we have, the emotional pattern, has been habituated for so many lifetimes. Therefore, this pattern which we developed is the cause of suffering. So to be able to reduce or find a way to transform the suffering which we're experiencing, no matter where we are, what we do, what identities or lifestyles we have, we need to understand the root, the cause of the suffering, which is the emotional patterns that we have developed. Maybe you only believe in this life, then since you were a child, you developed this pattern. So therefore, this pattern has been increasing, becoming stronger. So that is the reason we're experiencing so many levels of suffering, mental, emotional, physical. So that's something important to remember. Okay, I'm experiencing this mental suffering, physical suffering, or suffering of wealth, suffering of losing our relationships, or whatever. We need to think, what is causing this suffering? What I am experiencing this moment right now. That is the emotional pattern. We make mental, emotional, physical sufferings so important, and we pursuing all the patterns that we have developed, and we don't know actually how to get out of that pattern. And then we, the more we pursuing the patterns that we have developed, the more sufferings we're going to experience. So that's something for spiritual practitioners need to realize, need to understand, and really important to remember. And from Buddhist point of view, to be able to liberate from the suffering, we have to slowly reduce, reverse the emotional patterns that we have developed. That is the key. That is the essential thing to really release the sufferings that we all are experiencing. So whether you accept or not, that's the reality from Buddhist point of view. So therefore, I think using Buddhist teachings, applying them over and over again, and we should have the mindfulness and introspection to watch our behavior, to watch our speech, to watch our mental qualities and emotional qualities. Really important for a Buddhist to have those skills. Then we will be able to slowly, gradually, maybe not day by day, but maybe month by month or year by year, we can improve. We will find a way to release or reduce or reverse that pattern we have developed. So the most important thing is we need to apply the teachings, learn how to embody the teachings that we have received. This is a really important part. If we apply the teachings, and more often, whether we are practicing on the cushion or not practicing on the cushion, both time, if we really try to be mindful, not letting our habitual tendencies, pursuing, chasing the patterns that we have developed, there will be a change on your spiritual path and practice sooner or later. The thing is, we have to be able to maintain the spiritual technique and practices and skills that we are learning when we go to receiving the teachings or receiving instructions. Really important. That's something maybe you want to think. Is this true? The nature of the reality or the ordinary life is suffering. And to use our intellectual mind and where that suffering is coming from, based on our habitual tendencies, patterns that we have developed. So we cannot reduce or reverse this pattern using any other drugs or alcohol or any other things that we're into. From Buddhist point of view, applying the teachings, embodying the meaning of the teachings. Lo Zhong means mind training, not just a training, not just a trying, embodying the teachings, embodying the Lo Zhong practice. Embodying doesn't mean embodying only on the cushion or when we feel good. The most important thing is embodying the teachings when we do not feel good. Embodying the teachings when we are experiencing suffering, physical. We need to remember the Lo Zhong practice. We need to remember the Dharma teachings, instructions that we have received. And we're experiencing the emotional suffering. We need to embody the teachings. And the mental suffering, we need to remember embodying the teachings. This skill takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. If we do not stop, slowly develop the skills, bring the teachings into our everyday lives, sooner or later, we can really embodying the teachings and habituate the instructions that Buddha taught and the masters taught us. So that's something I think important to remember and to bring in to our everyday life, everyday actions. That's really important. So learning this skill to bring the instructions into our everyday lives, whether we are happy, life is good, that's impermanent. We attach to the happiness that is the cause of suffering. And then also when life is not good, really experiencing a lot of difficulties, pain and suffering, remember bringing the teachings and applying the teachings, not just trying, really make effort to applying the teachings and try to embody the teachings more often than because of the power of effort that we make. And one day we see, we experience, practice, lojong, and the teachings going to help us to either reduce or really reverse the patterns that we have been developed.
So actually this topic of lojong is really essential, and the Buddha Shakyamuni said that it is what Buddha Dharma is. So in a really famous quotation, the Buddha Shakyamuni said, completely abandoning all non-virtuous conduct, completely taking up all virtuous conduct, and thoroughly taming the mind, these are the Buddhist teachings. So this third line, thoroughly taming the mind, is lojong. It's the application of the teachings. And why is it that we have to tame the mind? Well, the mind is often described as being like a wild elephant. It just does whatever it wants. And we're sort of like people who just let the mind do whatever it wants. So if the mind feels like being resentful, then we're just happy to let ourselves be resentful. But when we're actually doing that, we don't think that. Being resentful makes us miserable. And we think like, I don't want to be resentful. I want to let this go. I want to give it up. But actually, we're allowing the mind to go into that pattern. And what is causing us to do that? It's the strong self-attachment that we have. So not only do the Buddhist teachings say that all of life is suffering, but life is characterized by suffering because we're attached to ourselves, because we make ourselves be the most important thing, because we put ourselves above everyone else. And that's why the very simple techniques, which are part of the Lojong tradition, are so effective. For example, if I know that focusing on my own feelings brings me so much suffering, then simply to turn my attention to another person's suffering or simply to wish them happiness reverses that pattern. Just like Rinpoche said, it's sort of like these patterns are so deep and they seem like we can't change them. But actually, one by one, if we dig them up by the roots, then slowly the momentum of that pattern will change. But again, this takes really focused application. It takes a lot of mindfulness and introspection. And I think sometimes what happens to people when they start practicing the Dharma is they have really great expectations for their suffering to go away quickly. And even if you don't believe in past and future lives, so for example, these strong emotional habits, I've been developing them for countless lifetimes. No matter what, you have been developing your emotional patterns through this lifetime. And so for me, I'm 44 years old. All the emotional patterns I've been working on have I been doing since I was born, so for 44 years. And then why would I have the expectation that after a year or two of practice, that 44 years of negative habits are going to be gone just like that? It's not really that logical when we put it that way. So this mindfulness and introspection, we have to really think about as a very gradual, lifelong practice. And we also have to sort of adjust our expectations. I can think about being a younger person and having really strong resentments towards friends or sometimes, you know, family members. And those resentments could last for years. So maybe something happened and I continually resented that situation. It kept coming up in my mind over and over again, and it took me years to resolve it. So if I'm applying the Lojong teachings, and when that thought comes up, that resentment comes up, I reflect on all of the beings in the world around me who are experiencing that same kind of resentment. That one time I unearth that pattern. Right, but is my expectation really that then that pattern's gone? I mean, I've been working on that pattern. I've been methodically building that pattern and building it up so many times, even in one day, maybe 1,000 times that situation came to my mind and I resented it 1,000 times. So I only unearthed it one time. So we can really, if we think about it that way, see if we're practicing Lojong, maybe there's a situation that we resented for 3 years And based on a lot of application, maybe we shorten that time to 2 years. We still are really resentful, but it doesn't last quite as long as it used to. And then if we continue to train the mind, maybe that 3 years becomes 1 year. Our suffering is made two-thirds less than before, but a lot of times we don't notice our own progress. And we don't notice that even to cut the amount, you know, the length of suffering is such an improvement and so much less suffering than we used to experience, that we feel like practice is ineffective, or we don't feel the, you know, the motivation to keep going. So I think that having a longer term view on the teachings is really helpful. I mean, Buddhism is a lifelong practice. What you've done until now has been your lifelong practice. You've practiced your emotions. Rinpoche sometimes says this. You've been training in anger your whole life. And then if you're going to train in Lojong, you have to train in that for the rest of your life. And if you believe in future lives, you're going to keep training in being free of anger, even past that, because anger is a really difficult habit to abandon. So Rinpoche also mentioned reflecting on impermanence. And reflecting on the nature of impermanence is another really effective and simple way to bring Lojong to the mind. For example, if I'm feeling resentful about a situation, I can reflect on the fact that right now the emotion I'm feeling is impermanent. It's not going to last very long, and if I don't put any energy into it, it's going to last much less time. So just reflecting on the impermanence of the emotion is really beneficial. But also we can reflect on the fact that this situation would happen, that even happened, is over. It's not happening right now. That situation has already passed. So the fact that I'm still experiencing the emotion related to that is just me bringing it into the present. So that situation is impermanent. It's already passed. And in the future, if I don't choose to pursue that thought when it comes up, that resentment again when it comes up, I don't need to experience it again because the situation already happened. It's over. And so it says, Rinpoche often quotes the teachings which say, if there's something that you can do to resolve the situation, why worry? If there's nothing you can do to resolve the situation, why worry? You know, once the situation is past, it's not really that useful to keep bringing it up over and over again in the mind. And sometimes we may have thoughts that we're doing ourselves a favor. We're going to keep ourselves from getting hurt because we're remembering an old hurt over and over again. But really all we're doing is making ourselves feel hurt right now and ignoring the possibility of experiencing something else. So right now I could be feeling joy. I could be feeling compassion. I could be feeling kindness. I could be feeling appreciation. But instead I'm worried about how I used to feel, and I'm making sure that I feel that way right now so I don't forget it. And that not forgetting it is just really painful. Longchenpa says that we should forget the things that happen just like yesterday's dream. And basically, if we're willing to let go of our emotions, we don't have to keep reliving them. And we can experience a lot more peace of mind in the present moment. And all of that is possible because of Lojong, because of applying the teachings.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was wonderful. And I think the point to practice in Buddhism is taming the mind. That's what Buddhists focus on. It's not easy. Not taming the external world or taming others who annoy us or bother us. The root of the discomfort, annoying feelings are coming from in, and our pattern and the self-attachment and ego and identity. So the purpose to practice in Buddha Dharma is taming the mind. Taming the mind means learning, using Buddhist teachings to let go of strong attachments that we have developed, and strong attachments towards our identities and what we believe in, and ego. That's the purpose of Buddhist teachings. That's the purpose of practicing Buddhism. So if some of us as really emulating the Lojong masters, such as Pat Rinpoche, who came in the past, only working on Lojong to tame our mind and ego and identity, things that we think believe, things that we believe in, then Buddhist teachings going to help us to find some peace and happiness and joy. Buddhist teachings will bring us some compassion, true compassion, and loving kindness towards others. When we can generate that kind of compassion, loving kindness, normally I call it warmth, and brings our heart bigger, warmer, lighter. That's the really result of taming the mind, taming the ego, taming identity, based on using Buddhist teachings and the Lojong teachings. Then we can authentically, genuinely express that warmth to others. So that warmth, that compassion, power of compassion and a loving kindness, Lojong, can tame others, can benefit others, can give us peace, joy, comfort. That is how Buddhist practice or Buddhist teachings work. And then that is going to benefit both others and ourselves. Otherwise, if we just believe in our own beliefs or what we think and try to change others' external world and tame others, it's going to cause more agitations, more unhappiness. So if all of you think this is logical, this is what Buddhists teach, discuss, and practice, that's how those Lojong masters embodied the essence of Buddhist teachings. The essence of a Buddhist teaching is taming the mind. One of us can applying the Buddhist teachings, using the Buddhist teachings to tame our ego, identity, and the self-attachment, then that's what we call realized Buddhist master. All right, do you have something?
Yeah, I just want to wish everybody the very best in their spiritual practice and hope that all of you are inspired to practice Lojong, because really it is the thing that can bring us greater happiness and peace of mind, even though it's a little bit difficult to get started practicing.
And then one more thing I didn't say, which is maybe needed some instructions on how to meditate. Meditation is a habituation. So meditation means we do meditation on the cushion and off the cushion. So when we do the meditation on the cushion, where you are, where whatever practice you do, if you wanna using Buddhist teachings, really watch your thoughts, emotions, patterns. Applying the mindfulness and the introspection. And whenever your patterns are arising, learn this discipline, patience, to not pursuing the pattern, the thoughts. It's going to be really hard. But if we can develop this discipline and patience, make a commitment, make a vows to maintain half of the day or an hour, I'm not going to let myself to chase, to pursuing the pattern that we that I have. And one-pointedly, working on that while you're sitting on the cushion may be a little bit easier. But when you're off the cushion, also bring the mindfulness and introspection as much as you can. And whenever you see that pattern is arising, and make sure not pursuing, and remember using the Lojong teachings, and learn how to really reduce that. That's something important to maybe begin the Lojong meditation or Lojong practice. So at one point, this effortful practice, bringing the Lojong teachings, techniques into our everyday life. And one day, this effortful practice turns into effortless, and maybe automatically we will recognize emotions are arising, but we're not pursuing. Automatically, maybe we will be able to apply the Lojong, the teachings, the practices that we have been doing. All right. Thank you. Thank you.